Okay, great. I'm going to do a really quick introduction to the Firefox Analytics plugin. I just want to give you a bit of a demo of some of its features, talk a bit about what it can do. So the Analytics Firefox plugin is based on libogplay. And libogplay is a library for the simple, and by simple I mean easy, playback of Ogg Media. It does synchronized retrieval of decoded data, so you just ask it for a time slice of data and it gives you all the video and all the audio that goes with that time slice. It gives you optional lock-free buffers and threading loops for multi-threaded implementation if you want them, but you don't need to use them. It's completely agnostic about the number and order of tracks in an Ogg file. And it abstracts away some of the Ogg complexities so that you just need to deal with the raw decoded data with timestamps attached. The Firefox Analytics plugin is built around libogplay. It's a cross-platform plugin that provides Ogg and Analytics capabilities to Firefox. I'll give you a demonstration soon. I should say as well, libogplay is actually what some of the Mozilla Firefox 3 builds that deal with the video tag natively uses. So that support and the plugin are kind of parallel developments, and we'll probably drop the plugin once we get native browser support. So some of the things that the plugin does is it gives you an extensive JavaScript API for Ogg playback. It deals with the easy playback of raw and streaming Ogg files. So you can just throw an Ogg file up on a server and play it back using the plugin if you want, or you can do things a little more complicated. It gives you, through Analytics capabilities, if you've got appropriate servers sitting at the back end, local light seeking on remote files. I'll give you a demonstration of that. And it gives you browser access to CMML annotations, CMML annotations being time-aligned text contained within the file. What that gives you is basically web developer access to scriptable media. And some examples of use could be community video sharing, CMML Wiki is an example of this, video archival and annotation, like the archive site that Dennis is going to demonstrate soon, indexable and user annotatable video, so you can actually not only grab a piece of web content and index it using the text track for searching, but you can also allow users to add to that index over time based on what they see in the video. Online video remixing, and brief plug, I'm going to be giving a tutorial on Wednesday that demonstrates how to build an online video remixing site. So yeah, come along if you're interested. I think it's in the morning at 10:30. Media content webs, where you've got navigable content and you can jump between different videos at different points. And video subtitling, so on the web. So there's all sorts of different capabilities. There's many more than in this list that this style of plugin gives people. Okay, enough talk, more demos. This is
today the topic is
too loud.
Business models. How do they work? How do you make money out of open source?
Okay. This is an engineering test page that we put together just to show off all of the various JavaScript capabilities that the player has, and also so that we can sort of use it as a quick sanity check to make sure everything's working. So it's not pretty, but it does have a lot of functionality. You can see that the video window itself is completely unadorned. There's no control elements. There's no play button or pause button or timeline or anything like that. The idea is, unlike a lot of the other video players out there, we give the web page developers the control to build the UIs that they want to build. So if they want to have an underbar which has got progress, then they put it in. If they don't want it, they leave it out. If they want play and pause, then they provide it. And all we do is we provide a rich JavaScript API that allows people to do pretty much whatever they want with video. So you can see, I've lost one now. We've got, you know, simple pause and play, restart from the beginning of the stream. We can set movies. I'll just use some of the shortcut keys. We can change the current movie, like so.
I'm Sylvia Farquhar, and my background is a researcher. So
I really need a better set of test content. If anyone's got it.
I'm leaving because I ran out of space.
No.
I'm not going to get much more geeky than this
we've got
with you today. But bear with me. I'm trying to explain new technology.
We've got.
That's what we currently do. And I'm trying to explain it in a simple manner. Please feel free to ask questions if I lose anyone.
Software control of volume. we can do things like retrieve the amount of data that's been buffered in the current clip, the total length of the movie, our position within the clip. We've got playlist support, so I can autofill and poll a playlist, and you can see the playlist is now, you know, it's been filled out using the JavaScript API, and it sits there, and we can. Sorry, this is really hard to see what's going on because the screen's so small, but. We can navigate backwards and forwards through the playlist, like so. When you get to a movie which is quite short, this is only 8 seconds long, as expected, when you get to the end of the movie, you'll jump straight to the next one. And I like to think we're one of the fastest people at doing that as well. And we try to cut down any overhead in switching between movies. The other thing you can do is register a CMML callback. And what you'll see then is, as we reach these annotations inside the video, those annotations pop up. Now, very quickly, I think I've got a little bit. Yep, I've got some more time. I'll show you some things in a minute that you can do with this. But was that me? So you can see as each section of the video pops up, in this case, as Pia introduces a new speaker, we get the relevant annotations, which are time-aligned to be at the beginning of that point. And some examples of what you can do with this. For example, you can build up a table of contents where you pull out all those annotations and you format them and display them, like so. Now, I should emphasize, this is done completely in the client. We're not using we are using one special server-side component, that's Mod Analytics. That's what gives us the remote seeking as if it's local, so we can jump directly into any of these points very quickly. But apart from that Mod Analytics component, we're not using anything special on the server. There's no special server-side active content or anything like that. This is just a client-side piece of JavaScript which pulls all this data out and annotates it. And formats it and sticks it in the web page. So that's a simple table of contents. You can also do that so that you only build the table of contents as you encounter each piece of data. That's correct, yep. So there's a special way you can use Mod Analytics to extract the entire CMML contents of a particular video file, still referring to that file by name, and the server goes through and pulls out the analytics. The CMML annotations for you and delivers them to you. This one is just using the CMML, which is in the video, as we encounter each piece. And you build up a table of contents as you go through it. And of course, you can combine the two approaches. So you render all of the contents in advance, and then as you hit each piece, you highlight that piece red, so you know where you currently are. So, I mean, these are some very simple examples of some of the things that you can do with the LibOgPay plugin, especially if you've got a Mod Analytics module to Apache sitting on the back end. There's a lot more interesting stuff that you can do, and I think that it's probably time for me to hand over to Dennis to show you some of that. So, thank you.
So my area of research is as an ethnomusicologist. Dennis Crowdy from Macquarie University in the music department. And I I teach various things, typical undergraduate courses and a little bit of audio engineering, but ethnomusicology is what I do for research purposes. And the focus of that is looking at the music of Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands at the moment, in particular the music industries there, which have been radically changed by access to computer technology. So what was once a very centralised industry has become much more distributed in terms of production. Distribution is another issue, but certainly in terms of production, there are lots of little home studios around Honiara and around Port Moresby, all around Melanesia, in fact. But I've got two main aims here today. And the first is to make some observations about the development and hopeful expansion of open source projects like Anadex from an amateur coder sort of scripter point of view. And in doing so, show how an application built on Anadex and built on this very plugin is useful in a research situation. In ethnomusicology, we have quite straightforward needs with data. It's just we need a lot of information associated with audio and video files, place, date, time, as well as structural information within that file. So I might like to know about particular guitar style flourishes or structural features through media. Or you might like to point to a video, a particular dance formation, whatever it might be. There are all sorts of applications for that. Traditionally, people have just had index cards or iTunes for that sort of thing. And the world of humanities research is, in many ways, I guess, a long way behind where those in the engineering field are, but it's something we're gradually trying to change. I want to make some observations about the processes of developing an application that has solved some of these problems for me. Lawrence Lessig talks about the movement of culture from being read-only for my generation to read-write for the current people, you know, younger generation, so people mixing video, YouTube, the whole phenomena. I'm wondering about a parallel in the coding world, and it's not a new idea either, and Conrad, Shane have been the people that have pointed me towards this, where you move from a sort of user model, people like me are users, to people like me being more involved in coding and scripting. And the observations I want to make, I'm hoping, will be useful to you as professionals as to how you might navigate that fairly difficult transition, if indeed it happens. Certainly there are lots of legal scholars in the States, Madani Sundo is a popular one, who talk about this participation age, and there is the suggestion that this might move further. I was working in Honiara in Solomon Islands, and a colleague of mine, Solomon Islander, said, let's go and record some music in a village for the villagers, and for me it was his culture group, and get down all the information about this and archive it locally. And I thought, right, easy, no problems. And then started looking for tools to do that, professional tools. There are things in the States. There's a project of $1.5 million, 25 staff over 2 years, not open source. Difficult. There's something at Sydney Uni called Paradisec. Again, no actual open source software, nothing accessible that you can grab. Turns out I should probably have had a look at Medavid earlier on, but I ended up just futzing around in Linux and gradually building something with the sort of social start of suggestions from people like Shane and Conrad and Eric and so forth. And I'll return to that really important aspect of socialising. So I've developed appropriate technology project based around recording in the Solomon Islands. It involved getting solar panels and taking in a FireWire-based Pro Audio preamp and DA box, the Metric Halo, beautiful preamps, studio quality recordings in the field, running off FireWire, running off solar power. So you can go into the field, into a village with no power, record, and then go back and do something with that. The Fado, Jonathan's here, somewhere up the back there. There's still no drivers yet for the Metric Halo, but one day. So all of that was done in OS 10, but the archiving side of things is something we've developed in an open source environment. I'll show you what we've come up with. Oh, sorry, that's a trap for young players. So CMML Wiki is something that Conrad developed early on, is something I had a look at and delved into the code, and as a rank amateur, found it very difficult to understand what was going on. Shane explained that at a code fest we had at Macquarie. Things became a little bit clearer and suggested, hey, pylons would be a really good way of implementing this kind of application. Pylons being, someone might describe it better than me, a kind of Ruby on Rails using Python, is that an adequate description? So I started mucking around with it, and straight away managed to get results. And that's something else I want to return to, because it's indicative of the strength with which these projects have been developed at a professional level. And this is something that we came up with in the end. So the idea being, had a research assistant type in, I think there's about 1,000 bits of data in there. These are all recordings from PNG and Solomon Islands, commercial recordings. And this is running on a server in Sydney. So this is probably a silly thing to do, but we'll see what happens. It's all audio too, sorry. It does work with video, but I just don't have. Is that F12? Get the video, the audio up. Oh, that's a full wall. Must have loud music. So you can see the information down here about it. It's the engineer, the studio, when it was done, so on, the names of all the artists and people, so on. And these are obviously all editable, so on. So the ability to add metadata is very important to us, and also the ability to add clips. So I'm going along, I hear something I like, hit the S key, and then I give that a description. Oh, well, that's a pretty a good sign. Anyway, the idea is you can add clips. I'm glad that works. Anyway, as you can see, I wrote this. Good, I'm glad it's done that. You get an idea of what's going on. But what I can do is search for, say, everything I have by Telec. And there's quite a lot by Telec. But this, to me, is astonishingly useful. And I haven't been able to do this before in the same way. And perhaps the most useful thing is the idea of clips, so that I can, you know, if I've marked up particular points in a song with lyrics, for example, and I think there's somewhere in amongst the lyrics is that pigeon word, and indeed, no, the items and in the meta names, and then you get clips too. The idea being that you can set up a playlist, so I could playlist called Stuff. Oh, right. And then search for things again, search for Telec. and then add those items to a playlist. And then go and play that playlist and listen to those items one after another. So if they were clips, for example, in the middle of a video or in the middle, I could, it's very useful for analysis purposes. Let's say I'm listening to all of the lead breaks on a guitar. I can mark them up. I can go and get all of those lead breaks and listen to them one after another. Now, that doesn't sound all that mind-boggling, but when I suggested this to our professor, he said, wow, that would have saved 25% of the time of my analysis of audio examples when I did my thesis. Because you've got people grabbing CDs and listening things and making notes and an incredibly kind of, or, you know, making notes of time, just what I used to do. At 2:46 there's this. Very time-consuming process. So this has been very useful, and it's been, all of that's using the plug-in that that Shane has just spoken about. Some observations of the design of this proceeded through trial and error, because I'm not a software engineer. That became very obvious, that the sort of way I design things. It was a bit ad hoc. And this is the way it ends up working. So you have Pylons, which is a sort of model view controller system with its own web server called Paster, and that model consists of two sections, a CMML parser and an SQL database. Then you have an Apache web server running mod Anodex, and this is a part of a design that no doubt will change, but what happens is the Pylons application calls to the Apache server for an ANX file. And in the Apache server, there are CMML files and OGG files, and Apache streams back that ANX file. The idea being, that's been very useful to me, is that my application writes directly to those CMML files in the Apache server, so that my archive of information is always just consists of an awful lot of OGG files and an awful lot of CMML files, which for me is, in 10 years' time, when I realise that my code was awful, I can simply update to a more modern application. The data is intact. It's not tied to the application at all. It's not tied to the SQL database even. That's used simply for searching purposes. So, some observations out of that. The fact that it could be built, I guess, is a real testament to the work that's been done by the professional software engineers in another level. And that is interesting, but also presages something bigger in the future, I think. The easier this gets for people like me to be able to access and do, the bigger your potential base of trouble becomes. Your developer network becomes this sort of amorphous mass of amateurs, which is, I would imagine, might scare you as much as it's currently scaring the 1,500 people at EMI losing their jobs. Not a direct parallel, but yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about. The code of examples, like the example that Shane showed us, has been more useful to me than good documentation. Simple working examples that I can grab and pinch and try have been the most useful bits of information in developing this. Also, what I've been very surprised by is the sort of intellectual generosity and the social aspect of open source software. And that's no mystery to you all sitting here gathered at a Linux conference, but it is a mystery to my colleagues, for example. The idea that this professional aspect of software development might involve socialising and might proceed very much on that, the way that community works, is difficult to conceptualize for most people, I think, stuck in the proprietary world. That's where my colleagues are. So ultimately, community is essential to this. And I'll just end it by saying that it seems to me that the challenge is how you navigate the changing landscape of users and developers and scripters and so on, given the kind of gathering you've got here and the kind of socializing and community that's developed so far. It'll be an interesting challenge. I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Situating these services that have been in Solomon Islands as people, villages updating those data sets.
The question is the aim to eventually have this in a place like the Solomon Islands? And yes, I'd ultimately like to be able to apt get this. In September, I set up an Ubuntu studio box in a little studio, home studio in Honiara, and showed how Jack worked and did a little bit of production work. But yeah, but until it's apt gettable, it's not really doable for anybody else. And with pylons, I suspect that's a fair way off.
Test. Okay, cool. Okay, I'm gonna show you MetaVid. First of all, sorry that my resolution's so low. But I'll just play a video of it and I'll resize it, I guess. Okay. So here's let me just explain before I jump in here. MetaVid's an extension to MediaWiki, and it uses a lot of the technologies that we've just seen earlier, mainly Shane's Augplay and Anodex for exporting CMML. And it basically allows sort of communities to collectively author metadata using the MediaWiki system as the base for managing those, you know, different versions of pieces of metadata. So here we'll first, there's like three basic interfaces. One is sort of like for editing metadata. We'll pull that one up first. You get presented with a timeline of the requested segment, and you can sort of jump around to any part of that from 0 to 20 minutes in this case. And each little piece of text represents the text spoken for that duration of time. The people are tagged in using an extension called Semantic MediaWiki. So so a person is like a property of that page. So you can say that this was spoken by
Henry Reed or whoever it might be. You can also add annotative data, like, so for example, you can tag it like schedule or debating Iraq debate, you know, debating Iraq appropriation bill or, you know, whatever those categories happen to be. And of course, once you generate a category, it gives you an RSS feed that you can plug into Democracy Player or you know, plug into your RSS reader and play back the OGG clips that way. It also lets you just play them right there in the category listing. You can play it full screen or in a window. Let's see, where are we going here? then we'll also, it also has like a search interface, which lets you query against all the wiki pages, but also the semantic metadata properties that you may have added in. In this case, we'll look for, you know, spoken by. As more semantic qualities get filled in, you can imagine more complex queries getting built, like, you know, show me clips of senators mentioning the word drugs that receive more than X dollars from companies in category pharmaceutical or something. So and that'll be, that's part of the semantic query engine. And then again, you know, the results, you can play them in line or, and then if you find a clip that you're interested in, you can go ahead and post that in your blog, and it'll use the MV embed script, so that automatically negotiates whatever playback method any client has to play back that clip. So then they can easily use it in whatever, whichever content management system that lets you plug in a little line of HTML. So you can play it in your blog, in this case, you can play it on the Google's Blogger. You can also do other semantic properties like the category search and things. Those categories that we saw earlier can also be a limiter or an and/or operators and things. And it gives you things in the other pieces. The other interface is the sequencer, which allows people to pull different clips together to create a sequence of clips that, you know, may address a particular theme or issue that you want to talk about. It has basic drag and drop editing. You can set in and out points for the clips. You can add them in from the database of clips that are on the site. You can scrub through the video. It'll do little frame updates. These are JPEGs being served, but eventually it could be possible to serve it from the video plugin once those are more advanced, like the Firefox 3 stuff. You can edit it. You can, again, it's all, every element's a wiki page, so you can have all the properties of wikis. Yeah, and you can give it categories. And
is that just a combination of clips or something like basically together?
Because every clip has its own URL, you can just arbitrarily construct any set of clips that you want to. And they're adding in a clip. That's showing exactly that. You're just setting the in and out points on a larger clip right there. You know, you have those little draggers to do it, or you can manually write in the time periods and stuff. And then, you know, the sequence page is a normal wiki page. You can give it a category. You can use templates and all the things we like about wikis. So that's that. I'll show you quickly at very low resolution one of the MV embed. So another project of Metavid is to make all these components standalone so they can be reused in other contexts. So this page, all this page has is one line that says include a script in the embed, that one JavaScript line. And then now if you write something like this in the HTML, the HTML video tag, you can say video source equals sample.ogg, and then it'll just generate a playable clip. Wait here. Oh, I guess I don't have the audio on, but you can imagine. But it also not only does basic video syntax, but once, you know, I started extending it a little more, so you can, you know, set the thumbnail and the, and, you know, particular link back and things like that. So there's various, these little buttons do various things, so you can choose whichever. So my browser has VLC, Anodex, AugPlay plugin in Java, Cortado detected. So you can choose among those if you want to, if you have a preference over which plugin you want to use. It also gives you a direct link to the download of the clip, unlike, you know, the Flash containers that are proprietary and generally don't give you access to the source video. This highlights it. I mean, also you can just view source and grab the code, of course. It also plays various different playlist types. So here's it playing XSPF playlist. That's ZIFF's playlist format. If you see the source is just referencing sample XSPF XML file. It just pulls that up and generates the clips, and you can sort of go through, and this is the metadata about each clip, which is, in this case, in the XML file, but in other cases, is pulled through CMML from the wiki server. This that's the more dynamic one. Here's M3U playlist. Here's an inline playlist, which is helpful for wikis and things like that. So that's that. We have other, all those other tabs or stuff that you saw in the video clip. So is there any questions? jQuery is a good library for doing fun, fancy things. So like when you play the clip, it, you know, zooms in and stuff. That's really easy to set up with jQuery. I don't know if all those clips are present. Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like the timeline, are they all like, or are they?
Oh, so like the stream interface?
Yeah.
That's mostly JavaScript based. The wiki, I mean, there's. Well, I mean, you'd have to have the server basically gets queried and says, you know, here's like a list of 100 metadata chunks, and those are all wiki pages in this case, but in some other, you know, in Drupal, they would be, you know, nodes or something, you know, so it would be easily, it wouldn't be terribly difficult to adapt it to other content management systems. Yeah, you do need to run mod Anodex on the server side. We're trying to make it a little easier to install that sort of software, make it sort of like a PHP extension, or, well, we've had a few different ideas, but so it'd be, you know, like GD or something that just is really easy to add in to make it real easy to set up Anodex-enabled content management systems.